In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Welcome to the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. I'm your host today, Jake Schnorr. I'm in place of Pastor Greg Huffman. Today we are continuing our study in Ephesians chapter 4, and the title of this lesson is, Can You Spare Some Change? Before we get into it, I want to remind you, if you are interested in a copy of the show notes, you can email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Again, that's wfl@brooksidebc.org for a copy of the show notes. If you're remembering from last time, or even if this is your first time tuning in for this sermon series, we talked about how we can tangibly grow and how we can tangibly change into the image of Christ as a Christian. We talked about the first thing to remember in growing as a Christian, and that was to put off the old man. Again, chapter 4 in Ephesians is the dividing line of the book, which is going into the practice of tangibly how can we as believers live out what we are learning. Paul is giving us a really concrete formula of how we can live this Christian life out. Last time we talked about what it means to put off, and we discussed what some ideas of the old man are. And in summary, it just means that we are to get rid of, or we are to stop, the thoughts and the attitudes and the actions that represent the unredeemed person you once were. In other words, this command is solely and only given to believers, because unbelievers can't put off something that they once were because they still are. Believers can only put off something they once were once they are genuinely changed. In reference to the old man, one pastor referred to it as simply the power and the presence of indwelling sin. This is the flesh that we battle against. If you want to go into a deeper study, you can mark it down that you can study Romans chapter 7 as Paul, who arguably is the most righteous and Christ-like man who ever lived, he battled on a daily basis with his flesh. So we see what we are to do. We see what is the old man. Now let's look at why we are to put off the old man. It can be self-explanatory that a believer should not want to be what they were. It could be self-explanatory enough to say that the old flesh dishonors God, therefore, don't give into it. Get rid of it. However, Paul doesn't leave us in doubt or question of what we are to do. He gives us reasons why we are to put off the old man. First of all, look at verse 22. He says that the old man identifies who we used to be. It says that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. It says concerning your former conduct. In other words, this is who you used to be. Paul never references the old man to a Christian without pointing them and remind them who they currently are. For instance, we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that glorious passage, it says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, so we see him referencing the old man. Old things, guess what? They're gone. They have nothing to do with you. But behold, he points them to the future, to the present, what they currently are. All things are become new. We see Paul also talking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 11. Notice this formula. Paul references the old man, but then points to the new. It says, and such were some of you. And obviously, we, for the sake of time, we can't go into the context of it. But you know the passage. It's talking about all of these different types of people, these vices that just consume their lives in sin. And he says that, and you believers, you once were just like them. But he points them to the future. You are washed. That's the present. Ye are sanctified, that's the present. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. He reminds them of this glorious reality of who they are in Christ. So whenever you see your flesh coming up, remember first of all that that is not who you are. If you are a born-again believer and you see signs of the flesh, don't freak out. This is not a sign that you are an unbeliever. This is not proof positive that you have not genuinely accepted Christ. This is just evidence that you have a flesh and you need to deal with it. What are you to do? Put it off. In other words, you need to confess it. You need to admit to God that what you are seeing, the signs you're seeing, are not of Him, but is of your flesh. Second of all, not only are we to put off the old man because it identifies what we used to be, but we also to put off the old man, it is being destroyed by deceitful desires. Look in the second part of verse 22. It says, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Another translation says, it is being destroyed. It's an ongoing process of deterioration throughout time. In other words, you have your redeemed man, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, but you have your flesh. The flesh, what this verse is hinting at is that it is not staying stagnant. In other words, it is not just staying at the same level of depravity, but is getting worse and worse and worse as time goes on. So whereas our new man is being renewed from one glory to the next, as we see in 2 Corinthians, our old flesh is going in the exact opposite direction, is becoming worse, being destroyed. So get rid of it because it's being destroyed. It is not getting better. It is not somehow, we can't coddle our sin like some cute little pet, acting like it's not going to harm us. It is getting worse and it will only damage you more. So put off the old man. It identifies who you used to be, which you're not, but also it's being destroyed. It's growing corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So we learned first that spiritual growth requires you to put off the old man. Second of all, spiritual growth requires you to renew your mind. Renew your mind. This word renew is a very interesting word. Immediately, if you are any level of a student of the Word of God, you will recognize that this is a common New Testament word. For instance, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, probably the most foundational word in defining what renew means. People go there. Be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Titus 3, 5 it's the same word as Romans chapter 12. It's the washing and the regeneration and the what? Renewal of the Holy Spirit. However, those two passages use a different word than the one here. The word here, ananeos, and has the idea of making young, making new, or has the idea of the young ones. So this has the idea of making young, has the idea of making almost childlike in a way. And looking at this second point in the realm of salvation, that is exactly what Jesus says needs to happen for someone to be saved, is it not? You need to, first of all, turn from who you are. So when you are saved, you are to put off the old man. You are to turn from yourself. Jesus told the Pharisees, unless you become like these little ones, you will never inherit the kingdom. You will never inherit eternal life. So this idea of making young your mind lines up directly with this pattern of salvation. But how are we to do that on a daily, in other words, how does this correlate with the idea of growing in Christ on a daily practical basis? Well, first of all, we put off the old man, but we renew our minds. First of all, we need to understand what it means to have a childlike faith. This doesn't mean to be ignorant of information. Kids lack sufficient information for many areas of life. So this doesn't mean that you lack information, but rather it's having a trusting confidence in the things of God. So in other words, for the second step, spiritual growth requires you to renew your mind. It requires you to get your mind to a point where it is an innocent, trusting confidence in what God says. As a side note, this word, it's a passive form, meaning it is done to you. You do not forcibly make your mind to have a trusting confidence in something. And you really can't force yourself to trust someone. I don't know if you've ever been hurt or scarred by an individual and the trust was broken. A lot of times it's almost impossible to force yourself to just trust them all over again. The phrase that goes around is you need to earn my trust. Something needs to happen to you to gain that trust. In other words, in summary, to renew your mind means to make it childlike and trusting again in the things of God. And how do we do that? You can't do that in any other way but filling your mind with the Word of God and prayerfully asking the Spirit of God to then renew your mind. You flush out all the things that are not allowing you to trust and have confidence in God, and you ask the Spirit of God to convince you and to give you that confidence and the trust in the things of God. Again, this is not just a one-time thing. This is a daily thing that must go on. If you go one day without prayerfully begging the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, there will be significant ramifications. One pastor notes this. It says, implicit in conversation, in other words, in daily walk, is a daily, indeed a continuous inward renewal of our outlook, which is involved in being a Christian. Christian righteousness depends on the constant renewing of our minds. Again, we see the urgency of renewing our minds in Paul's command to the Ephesians. But notice the end of that verse. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. I don't know if you noted that or not, and you had a question about that. This implies that mind renewal is not just filling your mind with information. Some of you may have heard of Daniel Tammet. He is now a 40-year-old man who has a very rare form of Asperger's. Like many people with a disability, their social skills are often hindered, while their intellectual skills and strengths are heightened, and in Daniel Tammet's case, almost exploding with strength. For instance, he was asked one time by scientists to divide 13 by 97. The people asking the question had the answer up to 30 decimal places on a chart in front of him. And with no hesitation, he answered the question up to 100 decimal places almost immediately. 2004, he recited the number of pi up to 22,500 decimal places with no mistakes. However, all of the things that he can fit into his mind does not renew it in any way. There is a spiritual element to everyone's mind that needs to be tapped into in order for mind renewal to take place. That's why it's the Spirit of God that needs to be the one renewing our minds. In the spirit of our minds, we are to be renewed. That can only come from the filling of the Word of God, prayerfully asking the Spirit of God to renew our minds in a childlike trust and dependency. Well, thank you for your attentiveness today. We're going to pause it right there and continue on our next broadcast. If you're interested in the show notes, you can email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. If you need a church to come to, we'd love to have you and see you Sunday mornings here at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Let us know if there's any way we can serve you or help you or just be a blessing. Until next time, Lord bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.